Welcome to the podcast of Broadway Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and the preaching of Pastor Daniel Othman, a biblical church centered on Christ.
As a matter of fact, the lesson this evening is, I know a lot of us, we have had so many series of the teachings on Revelation, but you never get enough when you are dealing with God and seeing how He's leading you and you dealing with the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask that even though you might have listened countless times, sat under the lectures and teachings countless times of this particular subject in Revelation, which we are going to do, my prayer to you for you is that just open your heart, just let a blank check in there and just say, God, just fill in, write in what you have for me tonight. Because what I know about the Word of God is, You can study the Word of God 1,000 times. And trust me, for each of those times, the Lord will minister to you differently. Amen? That's just the mystery of God's Word. I believe that there is a burden tonight that God wants to uplift. There is a burden tonight that God wants to minister to. There is somebody that God wants to just put you on the right track, okay? And that's why He's using this passage today. So just open up your hearts. Father, we just pray that You bless Your Word. I'm just an instrument, oh God. These are Your Word, not mine. So God, may You just touch my lips that any word that comes out, God, will be what You intended to be, oh God. Let the ears of Your people be open to the things, oh God, that You want them to hear from this stance here this evening. And may You glorify Your name in everything, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to begin by giving a short illustration of how, back in Cameroon, I grew up. Well, I grew up very broke. Our dad, he was a hardworking guy, middle class guy. We lived very well. He did what he could do as a dad to bring us up. But growing up as a teenager, you know, when you have this peer pressure in school, you have this group of guys that you are from middle school, you go to secondary school, we call it secondary school, then you go to high school, and then you have all these guys, you know, they come from different homes and different backgrounds. And one thing is that I attended a public school that had a lot of rich people had their kids there, and when they come, they drop them with cars. We never had any car. My dad never had a car, but at least he had a motorcycle. So I'm proud of that he had a motorcycle. But so these kids, from the rich families, they will come and they will drop them, and they will look so good, clean their uniforms. I mean, they are just outstanding. You know, they are just really outstanding. And then each time we have any socials in school, they will dress really well. Well, those of us who did not come from such a background to measure up with them, what we used to do is, we will also dress very well. I mean, you dress your best, polish it, everything looks so good. But guess what? You are broke because you don't have anything in your pocket. You just show this outside reputation, right? You show the sign that you also belong. But the truth is, if they were to count on our pocketbook, you know, those of us, we were really, really, really zero because we really had nothing. Even though we dressed to impress, even though we dressed to show off, but the truth is that in the pocket, we were like so, so broke. And our lesson this evening actually is giving a picture, a presentation of Christians. Sometimes, you know, we carry the Bible all the time and go to church. Our neighbors, they see us as Christians. We do all those spiritual demonstrations and we come to church, spend time. We do all those things and we carry big Bibles and people actually see us and know that maybe you are a brother to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you are a brother or sister to Jesus Christ. But the truth is that when some of us, if the Lord could break our hearts and see the kind of lifestyle we are living in our hearts, then you realize that we are really, really, we don't belong. And the essence of this lesson this evening is to kind of to bring us on track. Have you ever heard they said people are living on spilled milk, departed glories? You're living in the past. I used to be like this. Oh, I used to be a powerful Christian. I used to be like this, right? We always think about the past. And unfortunately, we are living in a world today that people who are famous, some of them maybe in their lifetime of fame, they did maybe something, just one thing that actually gave them that glory until the death. But as Christians, it is the end that matters, not the beginning. Amen? We as Christians, we want to run the race and die a Christian. Not living at one point and show all these characteristics as a Christian, and at some point, the glory has departed away from us long, long ago. So we'll be reading from the book of Revelation chapter 3, the first six verses. Revelation chapter 3 and the first three verses. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. And this is what it says. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things said he that hath the seven spirits of gold and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Verse 4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Amen. Just a few background about Sardis. Sardis was the capital of the ancient kingdom of Lydia, overthrown by Cyprus in 546 BC. During the Roman times, Sardis, actually that used to be a very, very great nation, had lost its former greatness, and it never recovered from a great earthquake which devastated it in AD 70. So it used to be a very great nation, okay? But because they were attacked, so they lost their greatness. Now, the church of Sardis actually could be like this one, like ours today. Now listen, it says, write to the angel of the church in Sardis. Thus says the one who had seven spirits of God and seven stars, I know thy works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. It therefore means that at the church of Sardis during that time, it was like ours today. It was a church like this. It had a good different organs. The church had activities that they were doing. The church had maybe evangelism that was going on. The church had like three services that was going on. The church was giving very, very well. They were very good at giving. The church opened its doors maybe seven times throughout. It was a great church, just like this one. From every angle you are driving around this town, you will spot out this church because it's standing, it's very strategic. And everybody can see and know and identify that this is a church. But not only so, but this church also goes online, right? It is projected online. Our services have been projected out there to the world. And if you go now to Google or whatever, just type Broadway Baptist Church Lexington, you will see it would come out and you have all these pictures. So the church at Sardis was at this one. They had activities that was going on. And if I must narrow this down pertaining to our individual lives, so too are Christians. We have people every day who live their life, they live their houses, right? They carry Bible and they're coming to church. They come to church Monday, they come to church Tuesday, they come to church Wednesday, they come to church Thursday, up to even Sunday they are in church. They come to all prayer meetings. They are good at giving. I mean, they are just so, so good in what they do. But listen, for everything that we do, everything that the church is doing, and for everything that us Christians, we are doing, the Lord only is the only one who sees and knows his true worshipers. Otherwise, the Lord would not have said, in spite of everything that the church at Sardis has been doing, but the Lord still says that, I know your works. You have a reputation. You show to the world that this is who you are. But as a matter of fact, the truth is that you are dead. Gone. Finished long ago. So everything that you are just showing out there is just a reputation for the public to see. We have this British show that my family will love so much, Keeping Up Appearances. It's a wonderful show. And it actually gives a good representation of what we are trying to say. The major character in that show, there is a lady. This lady actually, she identifies with every rich person. She just wants to project her name, family name, to be the best. I mean, she knows the way how to articulate, to present herself and their fam and her family as they are the Joneses, right? But the truth is that this lady, they are broke. This is the same thing that we are having, the Church of Sardis, which we are having today as Christians as we live our lives. The Lord says that even though I know you, I see you have this reputation of being alive, you act as if you give this semblance that you are alive. You give this imagination, you give this impression that you are alive, but you are dead. Now, why would he say that you seem to be alive, but you are dead? Now, just let me bring to you what Paul echoes. Paul echoes in Romans chapter 8. Paul says that, now if Christ is in you, I think this is Romans 8:10. Now if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit gives life because of righteousness. So therefore, what the letter carries to the church of Sardis is that they actually, the body that was supposed to be dead for the sake of Christ, now they maintain their body, right? They hold on to themselves now, and then instead of allowing the Holy Spirit now to reign in them, now they neglect the Holy Spirit. Because it says that if Christ is in you, the body is dead. So myself is dead. Everything about me is dead, and everything that needs to come out and to be identified and to be seen by people is Christ. The Spirit of God has to come out in me and so that and reflect, shine out the light of the world. So that when anybody sees me, they are not seeing me, but they are seeing what? The light that is shining out through me. But these people in this church, in Sardis, they have quenched completely the Spirit of God in them. And I'm going to tell you why. And that is the reason why they are dead. Do we have people like that in our church today? Who come to church every time, maybe stand and sing, and they show, they dress so well, and you see them out, you say, this is number one Christian. But of course, we do know that their lifestyle does not correspond in any way with what the Word of God says. How many people in our church today are living in fornication, who are staying, who are not married, yet the church is not saying anything, but we see them as good Christians? How many people are in this church who do not tithe? How many people are in this church who don't care what is going about in the church business, but all they know is to identify, I am a member of that church. I am a member of Broadway Baptist Church, Lexington. And most of the time, you see, when it's time for Christian meeting, that is when this pew is full. But when we come to business with the Lord, come and see, they're the first to argue. When they want to organize prayer, they're the first to protest. When the church want to embark on things for evangelism for the Lord in advancement of God's kingdom, they're the first to protest. And then you call yourself, you are a Christian. You are dead if that is the kind of person that you are. There are people who used to, when they see the thing, how, well, I used to share Christ, I used to evangelize. I mean, that is like 20, 30 years ago. They are talking about what they used to do, not now. Listen. If anybody is in Christ, the Spirit of God is living and it is active. You have to be living and active. It's a practical lifestyle every day. Even though they carry themselves and purport to be alive, their lives were not led and controlled by the Holy Spirit. They partook of the character of the city. They were pretentious, and their act as followers of Christ was fake and deceptive. They had appearance without reality. They had confidence which heralded ruin. They compromised with the pagan environment. They are just as Christian church by the name, that God's glory departed long, long, long ago. And that's how some of us are today in the church. We feel that we still hold on to when you gave your life to Christ. We are just bench warmers. We don't participate fully into serving God and allow the Holy Spirit to reign in our lives. The kind of things that come out from our mouth, the kind of place that we go, the kind of company that we carry on along, it does not reflect as anybody whose life is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Yet, you identify with, I am a member of Broadway Baptist Church, Lexington. No. The Bible says that if you are this category of people, you are dead. Listen to what verse 2 says. Be alert and strengthen what remains, which is about to die. For I have not found your works complete before my God. My goodness. Listen to this one more time. Be alert and strengthen what remains, which is about to die. For I have not found your works complete before my God. Does it concern you? It does to me. It does to me, actually. You know why? Because there is nothing that I can hide from the eyes of God. I can pretend to hide it from my wife. I can pretend to, if I succeed, to hide it from my wife. I can pretend to hide it from my kids. I can pretend to hide it from my family members. I can as well pretend to hide it from the whole church, my church family. But you know what? I can succeed to get the pretense all through all this category of people. But I can never hide it from God. Because God's eye is like seeing you wherever you go. Just like a satellite that is planted, it sees you wherever you are. And that is how God sees us. Now, if God actually sees us, then this is the time he said, be alert, strengthen what it remains. Come back to God while you still have the opportunity to breathe. You are about to die. You know, when he says that be alert and strengthen what remains. What remains, you know what remains? Is a short time that God has given you, which you don't even know the time, how much time you have left. While you are still breathing, come back to God. Make peace. Come back to God. That is what he's saying. Revival and repentance are urgently called for. Otherwise, there is no future for the church. We need complete revival and repentance. I'll take it the other way around. We need repentance and revival. Our church needs repentance. I need repentance. We all here, we need repentance and revival. So that God's church shall be revived again. And so that when somebody who does not know God walks into this building, he or she will feel the power, the energy of the Spirit of God that is hovering all over the church. That is how the church of God is. Because where God's presence is, you feel the anointing when you walk inside. You feel that, no, these people, they are different. These people, they are distinguished. These people, there is a fear of God in their hearts. That is the invitation that has been extended to us all. Repent and let revival set in. If you're that person who likes to argue and protest and complain, and you are so negative and negative and negative, this message is for you. Repent and revive so that the Holy Spirit will be able to do work in you. Amen. I'm not picking on anybody. This is how the Holy Spirit led me today, to preach. God sees and knows all that we do. You can never hide it from God. We may carry ourselves as Christians as a show to the world. We may make all kinds of sacrifices, both time and money-wise. We may attend church from 1st of January to 31st of December. But if God's Spirit is not at the center of our lives and take preeminence and take absolute control, then you are on your own. We are on our own. We are not serving God. We need to come to that point where you feel that you are nothing. That God will reign in you. His Spirit will reign in you and walk in you. That is what we are talking about. Let's go to verse 3. Verse 3 says, remember therefore what you have received and heard. And this is the important why, as Christians, we need to meditate. Christ tells us we need to meditate on his word day and night. We need to watch the kind of group of people that we associate with. We need to watch the kind of things that we watch on TV. We need to be careful with the kind of conversation that we indulge in. Because all these things, they are source of pollutants that will pollute, and when they pollute us, a crack is being initiated, and that is where the devil will easily crawl into us, from the things that we see, from the things that we listen to, for the company that we keep, and when we keep ourselves away from prayers and for studying the word of God. Remember therefore what you have received and heard, keep it and repent. But if you are not alert, I will come like a thief, and you have no idea at what hour I will come against you. Now, this warning actually to this church, they can relate to it because they had twice some battles that were taken by surprise and they fell to those battles. And when this letter is coming to them and is mentioning that coming without you knowing, they can relate to that. We also, we can relate to this. We have family members who out of a sudden just woke up, bam, we hear they are dead. That is our own alertness, that we should open our eyes and see, that we should be alert. Now think about the day you became born again. Think about the time that you allowed the Holy Spirit to govern in your life. Think about the time when you were completely dedicated to Christ. Think about the time when you lived for Christ alone. Think about the time when you hated sin and did not have anything to do, did not want to have anything to do with sin or with darkness. Just think about that time when you believed God's word without asking questions or pick and choose what you believe. Go back to those moments when you believed Christ and you were a vibrant believer. Where the only thing that people hear most from your mouth was something about God. How inspiring you were. How encouraging you were. You were so pumped up with this energy of the Holy Spirit that you just wanted to live and live out for the Lord. But what has happened? You know, it's like that seed that has been sown in thorns. We have caught up with the pleasures of the world. This is supposed to be a church service. How many people are here? I'm not judging people who are not here, but this is supposed to be a church service that is supposed to be full of Christians. What is happening? Not only this, there are so many services in the church that you come and just few people. What is happening? Are we not caught up by the things of the world? We prioritize the things that give us pleasure. We prioritize the things that gives us money. Then when it comes to the things of the Lord, we just push it behind. I can go to that one any other. No, God wants to be first in your life. God wants to be first in your life. If you don't put God first in your life, then this message is for you. He said we should be alert. We should be alert. Think about those moments. He's giving an invitation of repentance. Go back to those moments. Go back to those moments. What has happened? You don't pray like you used to pray. You don't study the Bible that you used to study. You don't do your spiritual act like you used to. What is happening? Now, you're going to excuse me. I have to say this. It's funny to see that some Christians will prioritize basketball. We put basketball ahead of church. When UK, anytime UK is playing, then church activity is come behind. But the Bible tells us that what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness. What happened to that Bible verse? That we take the things of the world and put it in front of us. They are our priority. Brothers and sisters, you cannot put God behind because he has his way. We will never succeed to put it, but he has his way. Our lives are in his hand. To those who persevere, I know sometimes it is hard that you feel like you've done this so much. And I want us to go to verse 4. Listen to what he says in verse 4. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not defiled their clothes, and they will walk with me in white because they are worthy. It is easy as a Christian to be discouraged. It is really easy, especially when you are just those few who are always there, you know, not actually listing down the acts of righteousness, but you find that you are just the few who are always there. Sometimes it is difficult. You can easily give up. But the good news that I want us to know that you are not alone. You are not alone. Just keep on doing what you are doing because you are not alone. Now, sometimes perseverance can be overwhelming. You may be tempted to think and feel that you are alone. I believe that the church of God is still sustained by some few faithfuls. You know why this church today is still standing? Because there are some faithfuls in this church who they are very faithful in their time of prayers. They are very faithful in their time of commitment with the Lord and just committed to carry out, sustain or carry on this church to God in prayers. They are very committed with their finances. They are committed with everything. And that is why this church today is still being sustained. Amen? There are some few. Thank God that he has not opened our eyes to see those people. But yes, there are some few. I believe that there are some few Christians in our church today, in this church, who are carrying this church in their hands because of their faithfulness. And that is why this church is still standing. To make things better for us, we know the story of Elijah, the prophet Elijah in Romans chapter 11, 3 verse 4, right? Where Elijah at one time complained to the Lord, said, Lord, I've killed all your prophets. and I'm the only one standing. It is easy to feel that way, you're the only one. No, you're not the only one. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to take my life. Verse 4. But what was God's answer to him? I have left 7,000 for myself who have not bowed down to Baal. You see, a minority in the church had refused to follow the compromising ways of the majority. That is very, very important. That, listen, it is not everything that people say that you have to go. We don't follow the crowd. As a believer, we have to follow just the word of God and what God says in his word and how the Holy Spirit is leading us. Because if we want to become popular, then don't be ready to be a Christian. If you want to become popular, then don't be ready to be a Christian, because there are so many obstacles of compromises up there that if you must remain popular, you have to fulfill to the world. And of course, those things, they are not pleasing unto the Lord. So there were some few people, just like the Lord told the prophet Elijah, he reserved 7,000 people who have not stained themselves, they have not bowed down their knees to the prophet Baal. I mean, that is encouraging to know that I am not alone. We are not alone. At least there are people in the church who also, they are like us, whose passion and vision, they are like us. So never ever feel that you are alone. They kept their garments unstained from the world. Their reward will be white robes of glory. They will dress in the robes of the one who conquers. Amen. We are getting finished very soon. And let's go to verse 5. In the same way, the victor will be dressed in white clothes, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father, before his angels. It's amazing to see that on that day, Jesus Christ will hold our hands, will hold us, and go before the Father and the angels and acknowledge this guy. That, hey, Mr. A, this, say, Father, this guy, he lived for you. How do you feel? You just get the imagination that Jesus Christ will hold your hands and go to the Father. Say, Father, he deserves the rest in your kingdom. Because, Father, this guy, he was toiling day and night for this kingdom. So, God, I have justified him. He qualifies. Let him in. How will you feel? Not only to the Father, but also in front of the angels. It has a wonderful, rewarding feeling to feel that every labor that we labor here on earth as Christians is not going to go, is not going in vain, because someone is taking note. And that is why as we live as Christians, we don't live to please people. We live because we are living unto the Lord and do his biddings that he has called us to do. Amen? Because if we were to live to please people, no. That would be a second-hand trust in God. It would be like a kind of like a second-hand believing. You just want to believe straight in the Lord and live out for him. The reward is coming. So don't give up. Yes, he promised us that it was not going to be easy. Your family will desert you. Your friends at work, they will desert you. There are moments in life that you find yourself like the minority. Everybody will turn away their backs from you. Yes, that is what it takes. Don't give up. The reward that awaits you is more than what we are going through right now, because the Bible says so. To end up, verse 6 says, the book of life contains the names. Let me see what verse 6 says. Verse 6 says that, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. This is what has been signed. When he wrote the letter, he signed to the end. I have set my own. If you have ear to hear, like our parents used to tell us growing up, my mom would say, I have set my own. I have set my own. And that's where she draws the curtain. I have set my own. That's her signature right there. So it is left now for you to go ahead and obey and do what you're supposed to do right. Otherwise, you face the consequences of disobeying what she said. Brothers and sisters, what remains for me and you today is the last breath, which we don't know when we will take it. And my challenge is, how do you want to live till that last breath? The opportunity for us is not to pick on us, but to bring us to straighten up back. If you are that one that you are still depending on the time that you used to be when I was as a Christian and not now, then I think that that belief, that perception is wrong. You're supposed to be who you are right now, live for Christ right now. So when Christ comes right now, he will take you to glory right now, not thinking about behind what you used to be. Because what matters, brothers and sisters, for us believers is how we end the race. Amen? Can we be on our feet, please? Now, this is serious business. This is serious business. We are here to pray. We are here to encourage each other. And I'm going to give this invitation. If for sure there is anybody who knows that you have not made Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can just indicate, you step forward, and the pastor here, he will lead you, tell you what to do.